It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds, it's Monday the 20th of May 2024. This is for professional investors only and never ever investment advice. First of all, let's catch up with last week's US CPI inflation data, which helped give bond markets a further boost, i.e. lower yields, to continue a run of helpful data if you're looking for Fed cuts this year. The market now prices in 2 rate cuts from the Fed by the end of the year. That's up from just 1 rate cut at the start of the month. Still not, though, the 3 that the Fed dot plot implies, but moving in the right direction. There is convergence, although we're still a very long way away from the 6 rate cuts that bond markets thought might happen as we came into 2024. Excuse me. Within April's CPI inflation numbers, headline came in at 3.4%, down from March's 3.5% year on year. Core was down at 3.6 versus 3.8. And the thing that people were most interested in, the month on month numbers moved away from that 0.4 per month run rate down to 0.3. So avoiding another 0.4 shock. The important subcomponents of the inflation data, which incidentally it looks like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the kind of ONS equivalent in the US, looks like they released all this data accidentally and early in an obscure corner of its website, so that's causing a bit of scandal. But all the sub bits moved in the right direction. So although rents are up 0.35% month on month, that was the lowest rise for nearly 3 years. Shelter, of which rent is a bit of that component, is 45% of core CPI. So it's really important to see rent inflation start to stabilise. Although one thing that people have pointed out is that actually the rent component of CPI doesn't look to be the most, I'm going to use the word accurate, but contemporary measure of rents in the US. So there is Zillow, which is a kind of database, the equivalent of Rightmove or something like that for rentals in the US, and that is not showing the sort of same direction of travel as this shelter component of core CPI. So it may be that we're not past the worst, inverted commas, from shelter. And it may be that rent bit is going to be stickier than we perhaps hoped for. Other bits, well, core services were also under control, 0.21%, and there was deflation in core goods prices, minus 0.11%. Bond markets had a massive rally when the CPI came out, relief as much as anything, it wasn't another 0.4. But the double-digit falls we saw in yields after the CPI number have faded somewhat, even though since then we have had some weak retail sales numbers as well. Retail sales came in flat in the US for April following a blowout March number, and cars and car parts led that weakness. So, as I say, big bond rally after the CPI, given some of that back now, but 2-year US Treasuries are now at 4.82%. They got as low as 4.72% last Wednesday. And one thing we've talked about a lot recently is that bad news is good news, and that obviously means that equity markets saw the retail sales numbers and the weakening inflation and deflation in goods prices as signs that the Fed will be cutting interest rates, and therefore gave equity markets an excuse to rally. So we're making new highs in the US. The Dow Jones, which I know we all agree is a bad index in composition and so forth, but it did go past 40,000 for the first time ever last week. So you are entitled now to wear your Dow 40K baseball caps this week, if you like. And even meme stocks are back, with the famous GameStop share price back in the headlines. It went from 10 to 50 in the course of last week. It's now back to 22. So probably not one to put in your granny's ISA. Anyway, it's commodity prices that are making markets a little nervous this morning, though, and bond yields are generally starting the week on a little bit of the back foot, so generally up 4 to 6 basis points in the euro land and gilt land this morning after a weak session in Asia. So JGB is also weak. 10-year JGB yields up at 0.98, so up 3 basis points, knocking on the door of 1% at the moment. So the thing that's driving bond markets in Asia overnight, really, I think, is particularly Dr. Copper. The copper price has often been seen as the bellwether for global economic growth, and that's leading to some fears about pipeline inflation pressures, as copper's been rallying for a month or so now, and it hit a record high last night. There's a good Torsten Slok economist copper explainer out, which gives a few reasons why copper prices are going gangbusters at the moment, and here are a few highlights of that to finish today's podcast. Firstly, copper supply is actually been contracting for a while. We've had negative mining production year-on-year growth since the end of 2022. And at the same time as the, you know, digging it out of the ground supply is constrained, there are constraints elsewhere in the supply chain, both in, you know, turning the raw material into something usable, but also the shipping disruptions that we know about in the supply chain. We've seen a big slowdown in volumes and the time increase in the time it takes to get stuff through the Suez Canal. So that supply chain disruption also potentially having an impact on the copper price. Slok also points to a big growth in hedge fund speculation in copper. So if you look at London Metal Exchange futures positioning, speculators have gone extremely long in copper since the end of last year, effectively. And finally, China's demand for copper is picking up, and that could be a sign general growth, general manufacturing demand, maybe stabilization in housing markets, copper big factor in pipes and plumbing and so forth. But also people are talking about demand for copper in electronics, and particularly as a result of the AI boom and the big investment that companies are making in technology around that. And copper, of course, is in pretty much every piece of electronic kit that you can see around you today. And why do they call it Dr. Copper? Well, there does seem to be, you know, it is the symbol of the health of the global economy. So there does seem to be a kind of academic correlation between the copper price and global manufacturing activity. Although, looking at the chart that Torsten puts in his pack, it doesn't seem to have a particularly good future predictor value in it. It seems to be a fairly contemporaneous rise in copper prices and activity, but obviously you do get the copper price more regularly than you do the economic data, which obviously gets revised as well. So maybe the copper price is the most active now cast of what you can see. So not just copper though, other industrial commodities going up and speculative commodities, so gold having a good time of it as well. But not all commodities going in the same direction. I would point that the oil price is down around 7% since its peak in April last month. So not everything going up, but copper grabbing the headlines. Good luck to all of you. If you've got kids doing GCSEs, it's Animal Farm and English Literature day for us here in London, which probably explains why my kid is watching a replay of Match of the Day and Nottingham Forest's Great Escape on the last day of the season to stay in the horrible Premier League for yet another year. So have good weeks. Speak to you soon. Bye.